إله إلا الله.
You're listening to ebuzz.com.
محمد رسول الله عليه الصلاة.
الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وما آتاكم الرسول فخذوه وما نهاكم عنه فانتهوا، صدق الله العظيم. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. دروش يا بلال. Respected brothers, respected elders, mothers and sisters listening at home, Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala an was very strict on issues regarding innovation or bid'at. Innovations or bid'at. He never compromised. He gave no leeway to anyone who practiced something that was not accounted for by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We have one beautiful example in all the books of ahadith. Even Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi has recorded this event in his Sahih. Hazrat Abis radiyallahu ta'ala an says, رأيت عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله تعالى عن يقبل الحجر. I saw Hazrat Umar رضي الله تعالى عن walking to the direction of حجر الأسود. Hazrat Abi says there were many people in that area of Mataf. Mataf is that zone on which people perform tawaf. When people were informed, Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab is in the Mataf and has made intention to make tawaf of the Kaaba, and he started off by kissing the Hajar, the black stone. Everybody gathered around him. Many thousands were around him. Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab kissed the black stone and he stood in front of the Hajar, and a very important statement was made by Hazrat Umar radiyallahu ta'ala an. Hazrat Umar radiyallahu ta'ala an was someone who was very visible. Allah had even given him this natural voice which was very loud. But very intentionally he looked at the Hajar and he said to everyone around him, Inni la'a'lamu annaka hajar. Verily I know that you are only a stone. A very strong statement. In the Mataf, people around him pointing at the black stone and saying, I know that you are only a rock, only a stone. Hajar, patthar ko kehte. Inni la'alamu annaka hajar, that you are nothing but a stone. La tanfa'u wa la tadurru. In essence, you have no power to harm anyone or to benefit anyone. And then he said, if I had not seen Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kiss you, yukabbiluka, ma qabbaltuka, Umar would have never ever kissed you. If I had not seen Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kiss you, Umar Farooq would have never ever kissed you. Ajeeb. Now scholars have mentioned every action of Hazrat Umar speaks millions of words. Allah had given him this gift of far-sightedness. A man who would speak at the right time, he would not miss an opportunity to hit the nail at the right time. Bewakoof us aadmi ko kehte hai ke who pays no attention to his tongue. He speaks whatever he wants at any time. Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab was very fast. He would scan quickly to the right, to the left, in front, back, and he would speak at the right time. And it would make an impact for everyone, not only the people in his time, but even for the Ummah today. Mu'arrikhin have mentioned, historians, the reason why Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an made such a powerful statement in front of the Hajar, Hajar al-Aswad, is because many of the people behind him were converts, reverts to Islam, new Muslims. He wanted to make sure that the love for idol worshipping, love towards idol worshipping, is completely deleted from their minds and souls. At times what would happen is that you have been transformed, you are a new person, you've done tawbah, taib, istighfar. But then if somebody talks to you about something of the past, straight away if it is a vice, wrong, then the shaitan will take you back to that period of guna, sins, and he will want you to experience that which was not legal in Islam. So he wanted to make sure that all of these new Arab Bedouins who have embraced Islam, they have a very strong foundation on Tawheed. No traces of the old pagan customs of worshipping the idols. Ab to ye sare mushrikeen the na? So very clearly he made an announcement that look, this is just a stone. Inni la'alamu innaka hajar, that you are just a stone. La tanfa'u wa la tazur. You have no capacity to harm anyone or to benefit anyone. Ulama have mentioned the words, the latter parts of that statement is even more important. Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala an did not give a logical explanation as to why we kiss the stone. Patthar ko chumna, bosa dena, kya hikmat? The rationale, what is the logical reason of kissing a stone? The only reason that he gave, which is the foundation of every believer in his aqeedah, he clearly said that it is sufficient for a believer to accept everything which is performed by Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he needs no wisdom, he needs no logical explanation. The level of iman must be to such a degree that whatever Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has done, he accepts that without questioning. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kissed the hajar, the black stone. We don't need to delve into the hikmat, the wisdom, why. Alhamdulillah, scholars are full of answers. They have given reasons. But as a believer, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's great sahabi is explaining here, the main reason should be that it is the sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so much trust must be with Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that everything around you can be wrong, but Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam can never be wrong. This should be the aqeedah. Subhanallah ilazim. We have different ahadith on the same subject, Hajrul Aswad, in which Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself has given one or two reasons as to why a believer will get so close to Hajr al-Aswad. In one hadith, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, نَزَلَ الْحَجْرُ الْأَسْوَدُ مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ. This stone came from Jannah. The black stone was brought from Jannah. وَهُوَ أَشَدُّ بِيَاظًا مِنَ اللَّبَنِ. In color it was white, even more whiter than the color of milk. Dood se zyada sufed. فَسَوَّدَتْهُ خَطَايَا ابْنِ آدَمْ. The sins of Banu Adam, the children of Adam alayhi salam, have blackened this stone. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put something in this stone, some substance, that it absorbs the sins of believers. And that is why Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, you must kiss the black stone. It is a form of istighfar. When you repent, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala purifies you. This is also one method of purification. So when you kiss the black stone, it takes something from you. It does take away something from you. That is what Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said. That it was white, and because of the sins of the believers, it has become all black. It has taken everything inside. Warna ye to jannat ka patthar. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said on the day of Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give it two eyes, a beautiful image. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give it a tongue. يَشْهَدُ لِمَنِ اسْتَلَمَهُ حَقٌ, and it will bear witness of every individual who came close to it, did istilam or kissed it. It will give gawahi, it will testify, and it will do shafa'at of those individuals that have kissed it. Anyone here who's had the opportunity to kiss the Hajar al-Aswad? Hands up. Hands up. Bhai, chanda wusul nahi kar raha hu. Don't worry. Don't worry, bhai. No 50-50 pounds cashing out here. Hajar al-Aswad? MashaAllah, MashaAllah. Mustaqil jihad, ah? Jana. I remember once we had an opportunity. There was this brother from Afghanistan. And he sat next to me and he looked at my pagri and I looked at his pagri. There was a difference, a lot of difference. So he started speaking to me in Arabic. He was a madani living there or working there. He said to me, Mauli Sahib, have you ever kissed the black stone? I said, never. I'd love to kiss the black stone. Hamari tara aadmi. Aur us waqt bhai. Phunk mare ur jaye. She said, acha Maulana, is Pathan version. He said, stand up, stand up. I said, where are you taking me? He said, no, let's go. And literally this man just put his hands like that. And he just went forward. And I was there in front of him. And without pushing, and it would not be right for me to say there was no movement at all. You have so many people there. But no fights, nothing of extreme nature, of fighting, nothing like that. But just went and kissed the black stone. SubhanAllah. So it is a mission nowadays. This is going back many, many years during the days of Darul Uloom. But nowadays it is even more hard to go and kiss the black stone. But if you kiss the black stone, in the hadith it comes on the day of Qiyamah, it will give gawahi, it will testify, and it will do shafa'at for you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq. But a very important statement that comes out from the mouth of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, he gave no explanation. All he said, we saw Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kissing, and that is enough for us. That is our iman. Whatever he has done, it is a path that leads to Jannah. And that is why there is so much reward for that person who performs Hajj, Hajj Mabroor. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَيْسَ لَهُ جَزَاء إِلَّا الْجَنَّةِ. There is no jaza except for Jannah. Why? Everything about Jannah passes the human intellect. Now somebody might say, why do you want to do tawaf of the Kaaba 7 times? Walking around it. A non-Muslim, what can you tell him? What are the reasons? Logically, everything about Hajj is something that perhaps the human mind cannot accept. What is the reason? Why do we have to spend the night in Muzdalifah? Cold. Few hours in Muzdalifah. Why? What is the reason of going to Mina? What is the logical reason where Huzur alayhi salatu was salam said, Al-Hajju Arafah, bhai, Hajj to Arafah hai. If you haven't passed Arafah, your Hajj is incomplete. Now what is Arafah? Arafah is just an open, vast land, nothing. But yet so much worth and value. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you want to become a Haji, you have to spend even a few seconds in that area of Arafat. Then you are a Haji. Otherwise you are not a Haji. What are the logical reasons? Now alhamdulillah, ulama have explained. But as Muslims, subhanallah, our iman and yaqeen is such, it is the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is a means that will bring individuals closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we do tawaf. If somebody asks you, why not 10 times? Why not 11 times? Why not 13 times? Why not once? Why 7 times? Bhai, uska kya jawab hai? As Muslims and also human beings, non-Muslims, we share some qualities. the five senses. Muslims have the five senses, and also non-Muslims have the five senses. Muslims are one step ahead. With the five senses, we believe in the Quran and also the Sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So if something of the five senses is against the Quran and the Sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we as Muslims will reject the five senses and will uphold the Quran and Sunnah. This is not the case of a non-Muslim. For a non-Muslim, he hasn't got that platform of Quran and Sunnah. He hasn't got that platform. That is the difference. Fundamental difference. We have the five senses, but he hasn't got the Quran and Sunnah. So the Muslim, he will only look with the Quran and Sunnah. A good Muslim, a pious Muslim, he will see that these are my five senses, this is what my mind is saying, but this is what Quran is saying. Now somebody is angry, and Allah save us all, in his anger he said to somebody, to his wife, by 1,000 talaq to you. How many? 1,000 talaq to you. Wholesale talaq. And then he makes up source and he comes. And then he thinks that this is what my intellect is saying, this is what my mind is saying, this is what my nafs is saying. But this is what the Quran is saying. What do we do? If he follows his nafs, he is from the dalin, he has deviated. So he has to follow what the Quran, no matter what the sacrifice, no matter what the sacrifice, he has to uphold the Quran and Sunnah. And that is a sign of quality iman. Now Sharia says that you can't have dogs. Generally, as Muslims, we won't have dogs because of the saliva, napaki. Of course, there are circumstances. We won't go into the masail where there is jawaz at times. You can have dogs for safety, like in some of the countries you have dogs. But generally, as a pet, Muslims don't have that. Now, if somebody says to you, a dog is the man's best friend, the dog is the man's best friend. Well, it is going to be the man's best friend because your wife is not your friend anymore. Your children don't respect you anymore. Your family members don't respect you anymore. So where do you turn to when it comes to peace, solace, tranquility? You haven't got the Quran and Sunnah. You haven't got the zikr of Allah. You've got shirk. So what can you do? So you'll buy a cat and you'll buy a dog. And so one of the signs of Qiyamah is that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, a man will honor the dog more than the human being. This is in the hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So if Islam is a religion of mercy, then why do you reject the dogs? So we have the five senses, we have the mind saying one thing, but then we have the Quran and Sunnah saying something to us. So if it contradicts with the Quran and Sunnah, you close your eyes and you say, oh nafs, shaitan, sorry, I can't compromise with you. I can't compromise with you. This is the fundamental difference. And this is what Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an said in the very beginning, where you had people who were new to Islam. That this is just a stone. Yes, we kiss Hajarul Aswad. We have honor and respect. But we worship who? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we go to Arafat and we do tawaf. And isn't it funny, when we do tawaf, how do we start tawaf? Clockwise or anti-clockwise? Anti-clockwise or clockwise? Bole na bhai? Anti-clockwise. Really, everything of a blessing is anti-clockwise. When you study astronomy, even the planets float in that sequence of being anti-clockwise, counterclockwise, except for the man who invented the watch. He was a fool. For him, everything was clockwise, you see. Now, if he was a Muslim, he would have designed the clock being going anti-clockwise, because this is the system of Islam, anti-clockwise. Hum kaise tawaf karte hain? Bhai, yun tawaf karte hain na? Yun to tawaf nahi karte na? Ghadi ki tarah. So there are reasons, alhamdulillah, there are logical reasons why we can explain. So if it was Muslims, alhamdulillah, Muslims have been right at the forefront when it comes to inventions. And that is why I always say watch should be worn on the right hand. We don't have to wear it in the left hand, because it is the mark of Izzah, and anything of Izzah should be worn on the right hand. So when we put on our kurta, the first hand that goes in is the right. The izar, the first leg that goes in is the right. That is the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When he would put olive oil, he would put olive oil first on the right and then on the left. When he would put surma, it would be on the right first, then the left. Everything is right. Preference is given to the right. So on one side you have logic, and on one side we have what you call naqal, the Quran and Sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One other example: if one was to prostrate as a Muslim to a human being, would that be correct? Koi aadmi kisi ko sajda kar sakta? You can't. Musa bhai saying no, nay, you can't. Okay. But yet, Jibreel alayhi salam did sajda to Adam alayhi salam. Jibreel alayhi salam did sajda to who? Adam alayhi salam. What a great malaika, Jibreel. Jibreel, Mikael did prostrate to Adam alayhi salam. Never mind the four great angels. All of the angels did sajda to who? A human being. Now that is logically in our Sharia, that is incorrect. But when it comes to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our rules and regulations don't apply, because that is the direct hukam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is Allah commanding the malaika, fasjud, do sajda, usjudu li Adam, do sajda to Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala an, Allahu Akbar, the intellect and the intelligence given to him. He was an incredible man as far as bid'at, kufr, shirk was concerned. He made sure that tawheed was in the hearts of every individual. Now the first day of office, Hazrat Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala an becomes the Khalifa. Ajkal, who has taken the place of Mr. Blair? Mr. Brown. What's his full name? Gordon Brown. Mr. Gordon Brown. Now what has he done in his office, the first day of office? Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an comes to Khilafat. Now imagine what a man he is. The first thing what he does is he says, yes, I'm going to fire Hazrat Khalid bin Walid from his position. Can you picture the level of intelligence of this great brain given to Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala? The first action during the entire Khilafat of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, who is the leader, the commander of Muslim military, Islamic military, Hazrat Khalid bin Walid. As soon as Hazrat Umar comes in, he says, right. He calls Hazrat Khalid bin Walid and he says, that's it. I'm moving you out from this position of being the leader, the general for the Muslims. Subhanallah. Now, what an impressive leader Hazrat Khalid bin Walid was, a dynamic man. He was so powerful and swift that if he was on one side, and we talked about this in the Khilafat of Abu Bakr Siddiq, if he was on one side of the battlefield, the kuffar would say, yes, we've got him now. He was so fast, in a few minutes he'd be on the other side. It is said about Hazrat Khalid bin Walid, he would never sleep and he would never let people sleep. He wouldn't sleep and he would never let people sleep. He would rock the battlefield. They couldn't catch him. Ajib, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given him that power. Very, very, very powerful man. When this decision was heard amongst the mujahideen, they couldn't understand Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an. They thought that he is breaking everything that was worked for by Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq. And a few seconds, everything will come down if this decision is taken. Hazrat Khalid bin Walid comes, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala makes it clear to him that I want all of you to understand, I have not deposed him from his position because of any breach or betrayal to the Khalifa. The only reason I move him from his position is that I have seen that at times you have taken the image of Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala an to be a fitna for you. Now, not the Urdu fitna, the Arabic fitna, it is a test for you. People were actually saying that it is Hazrat Khalid bin Walid that designs victory in the battlefield. He is the creator. He is the one who does everything. He is the one who makes victory. And it so happened that everybody would talk, oh, we won there, Hazrat Khalid bin Walid, Hazrat Khalid bin Walid. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an did not like that. And he stepped in, again on the subject of Aqeedah. You see, sentiments did not overtake Hazrat Umar Farooq. Feelings did not overtake Hazrat Umar Farooq. He was very open. For him it was the Quran and Sunnah. He did not shy off from making a decision. And so he said that every victory is attributed to Khalid bin Walid, which I see to be wrong. All of you must say victory comes because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now I want to show you that when I remove Hazrat Khalid bin Walid from his position, if you adopt taqwa, Allah will still bless you with victory. And that was the case. Hazrat Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah took the position of Hazrat Khalid bin Walid, and in the 10 years of the Khilafat of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, Islam spread so far that perhaps it did not reach as far in any of the other periods of Khilafat. This was done in the Khilafat of Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab. So he was extremely careful, very, very careful when it came to bid'at. He knows that shaitan does not put a full dose of kufr and shirk inside a person. He does it slowly, 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 slightly twisting the fingers, slightly twisting the fingers, and then slowly, slowly taking the arm. Even if it takes years for kufr, shaitan's got all the time. Musa alayhi salam went for his chilla. Where did he go? For his chilla. Where did he go for chilla? Tell me. Where did he go? India, Pakistan, Africa. Where? Mushtaq. Where did he go for his chilla? He went for 40 days to the mountain, an invitation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He left the older brother in charge. What was his name? Harun alayhi salam. Musa to yahan baithe huye. Or Harun alayhi salam was older, but the younger one got khilafat and nabuwat, sorry. And so he said to Harun alayhi salam that you are in charge, make sure. You see, Banu Israel have this habit, a tendency to move very quickly. Look after them very quickly. واتخذ قوم موسى من بعده من حليهم عجلا جسد الله خوار. Allah says Musa alayhi salam went, not even complete 40 days. A few days had passed. Banu Israel, wo kutte ki dum teri ki teri hoti hai na. And they started complaining to Harun alayhi salam, oh, your brother has abandoned us. He's not going to come back. You see, he's gone. We want to worship what our forefathers worship. We will also worship idols if we need to. Ajib, shirk, how it comes, how the shaitan works. Musa alayhi salam is there to receive the message. Harun alayhi salam is there looking after Banu Israel. And you have one goldsmith. One goldsmith. Not from Melton Road. Uska naam tha Samiri. Kya naam tha? Samiri. Bole? Samiri. Now this Samiri, again, he was the enemy of Musa alayhi salam. He was the man who had taken all the treasure and the gold of Banu Israel. He molded the gold and made this golden calf, an image of a golden calf for the people. Archie is gold mein bani hui, a golden calf. And what he did, in a bag he had this sand, which he collected from beneath the feet of the horse of Jibreel alayhi salam. Long story. So he took that sand and he inserted that sand in the mouth, from the mouth section of the calf. Now shaitan is there, it's not difficult for him to make noises and to move something. So as soon as the sand was inserted into the calf, this golden calf started moving and making noises. So Samiri said that, look, Musa has gone, he has abandoned all of you. Now you listen to me, this is your God, worship this golden calf. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the kalam that Banu Israel started worshipping the calf. And when Musa alayhi salam came back, ghazab mein, Allahu Akbar, and Musa alayhi salam got hold of the beard of Harun alayhi salam and said, Harun, what have you done? Allahu Akbar, they could not tolerate shirk. And Harun alayhi salam says, Yabna Ummah, La ta'khuz bi lihyati wa la bi ra'si. Look, don't hold my head and my beard. I will explain everything. These people wanted to kill me. And before I could take any action, I thought it is better for me to wait for you. But again, a brief account of how quickly this tendency of shirk is inside human beings, that slowly this man can deviate from the straight path. And so what he does is that he starts from presenting bid'at, he puts bid'at in front of you. And slowly when you do bid'at, then slowly that will lead up to shirk. And you are actually doing bid'ah, but that is not bid'ah, it is now in the last degree, it is shirk that you are doing, but you don't even know that you are committing shirk. Now we have one great Nabi whose name is Hazrat Daniel alayhi salam. Whose name? According to our akabirin, Daniel alayhi salam is a Nabi. Qari Tayyib sahab has mentioned him also in his khutbah. Let's take him to be a Nabi. Hazrat Daniel alayhi salam, it is said about him that once in one location, due to flood during the Khilafat of Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab, one grave was uncovered. And in that area, people would say that this grave is the grave of Hazrat Daniel alayhi salam. In the biblical text, it is known as the Book of Daniel. The Book of Daniel. You have the Book of Samuel, and then you have the Book of Daniel. Daniel. They call him Daniel, we call him Daniel. Now, in the Bible, Daniel, the Book of Daniel is the version of the signs of Qiyamah for the Christians. All the signs of Qiyamah are in that chapter of the Book of Daniel. So, Hazrat Daniel alayhi salam, people in that area said this qabr is the qabr of a Nabi whose name is Hazrat Daniel alayhi salam. When Muslims had conquered that part of the region, Hazrat Daniel alayhi salam's qabr opened up. Now some of the Muslims looked at the body and they noticed that this body, this mayyit, is completely fresh. Jaise abhi kisi ka intiqal hua. And so people were saying that this is the qabr of a great Nabi whose name is Daniel alayhi salam. So there is a chance. Muslims in that area said that this is the qabr of Daniel alayhi salam. Why? Because Allah has made it haram upon the earth to eat the body, the ajzad, the bodies of Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam. And therefore the body is intact. Now they did mashwara. They wrote a letter to Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, what do we do? Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an. Again, look at the thinking power of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an responded in the letter and he gave instructions. He said that only two of you must lift up the body of Hazrat Daniel alayhi salam. Say he is the Nabi, Daniel alayhi salam. Because you have to relocate him a place. When you bury him again, make sure that burial is done and performed only in the night. Only in the night, and there is no one around you. When you bury him, make sure with his own grave, there are extra 13 graves that you dig up also. How many graves? 13 graves extra that you dig up. So you put Hazrat Daniel alayhi salam in one grave, and with that you also dig another 13 extra graves. As instructed, The governors were there and they said, right, this is where we will rest Hazrat Daniel alayhi salam, in and around 13 extra graves. They took the body in the night, they rested Hazrat Daniel alayhi salam, and at that time in the night all the 13 graves were also filled up, closed, not with someone who has passed away, with dead bodies, just filled up as a sign that this is a grave. Now ulama have mentioned Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an gave these instructions because he knew that if people were to find out that this is the grave of Daniel alayhi salam, they would come and they would worship the grave of a Nabi. So to make it hard, what he did, he buried Hazrat Daniel alayhi salam but did not explain to them the real location, the exact location, and you also had other graves that were around. So if anybody came in that region and said, okay, where is Hazrat Daniel alayhi salam's grave, it would be very difficult. But we don't know where it is, there are so many people here resting. So this was the hikmah of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an. He did not allow bid'ah to spread in his khilafah, did not allow. And today, you see our Barelvi brothers, at least I am calling them our brothers, they call us kafir. They call us kafir. And you go to Ajmer Sharif, Bombay, you go to any part of India and some of these parts in Pakistan, and literally kabar puja. What is it? Kabar puja. Kabar worshipping. Kabar worshipping. Wala hawla wala quwwata. Can you imagine if Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an was alive today, what he would do? He told the governors to dig extra 13 graves. And Allah give jazai khair to our Arab brothers of Madinatul Munawwara and Makkatul Mukarrama. No matter what, no matter what, as far as the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is concerned, they are very strong. Very strong, and they make sure nothing of a wrong picture of worshipping human beings is portrayed in that part of the region. And that is why we have the qabr of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, we have the qabr of Hazrat Umar Farooq, we have the qabr of Hazrat Uthman, but we don't know the location of Hazrat Ali radiallahu. Where is Hazrat Ali? Yes, you will find historians saying that he is there, some will say no he is there, some will say no he is there. But these are all speculations. You don't really know where Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an is. Why, according to some of these people, Hazrat Ali's position was like the position of a Nabi. Some would even literally worship him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a way has saved this ummah. In a way has saved this ummah. And that is why today, subhanallah, Masjid Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you will not find any traces of shirk with the Sahaba, or for that matter even with Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is the dua of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we have to be very, very careful. Whatever we do must be accounted for by Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is a very important lesson given to us by Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an. Allah Paak mujhe aapko tawfeeq de. Wa akhiru da'wana an alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما اللهم تقبل منا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم نستغفرك ونتوب إليك نستغفرك ونتوب إليك جو بیمار ہے ان کے لیے شفا کی دعا کی درخواست کی جاتی ہے یا اللہ یا رحمان یا رحیم ہماری اس مجلس کو قبول فرما اللہ ہماری اس مجلس کو قبول فرما بیٹھنے والوں کو قبول فرما سننے والے کو قبول فرما بولنے والے کو قبول فرما جو اللہ بیمار ہے ان کو شفا دے دے یا اللہ جو ہسپتال میں ہے یا اللہ ان کو شفا دے دے یا اللہ جو دنیا سے چلے گی ان کی قبروں کو منور فرما جو پریشان حال ہے اللہ ان کی پریشانی کو دور فرما جو مقروض ہے یا اللہ غیب کے خزانے سے یا اللہ ان کے قرض کو دور فرما دے یا رحمان یا رحیم ہماری حفاظت فرما اللہ کریم ہمارا خاتمہ بالخیر ہو اللہ کریم ہمارا خاتمہ بالخیر ہو اللہ تو ہم سے راضی ہو جا اللہ کریم تو ہم سے راضی ہو جا اللہ ہمیں توفیق دے کہ ہم نیک اعمال میں مشغول ہو جائے. گناہوں سے ہماری حفاظت فرما, گناہوں سے ہماری حفاظت فرما. اگر گناہ ہو بھی جائے اللہ ہمیں توفیق دے کہ ہم توبہ کرے, توبۃ نصوحہ. وصلی اللہ تعالی علی خیر خلق محمد وعلی آلہ اصحابہ وازواجہ وذریاتہ واہل بیت اجمعین برحمتک یا ارحم الراحمین.